Moms, dads, be honest. Ever feel hassled by your kids? After all, while it's true that children are a gift from God, it's also true that rearing sons and daughters can be one of the toughest assignments in all of life. As toddlers, they exhaust us. As grade school kids, they pepper us with relentless questions and sometimes annoy us. As teenagers, they exasperate us. So how do we fulfill our parental role with a sense of joy rather than resentment? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a message introduced earlier this week. We're talking about delighting in your children.
First Thessalonians is a letter written to the people of Thessalonica by Paul after spending just a little bit of time there. If you want to know what that was like, you got to read Acts 17, 1 to 9. It'll tell you about his time in Thessalonica. Wasn't long at all, just a matter of weeks. Once he scoots and is on his way to other involvement in ministry, he pauses along the way and he writes them a letter remembering what life was like when he was among them. If you're a pastor, a former pastor, if you've known the joy of shepherding a flock, then you can understand the words that appear beginning at verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 2. These are words of a shepherd to a congregation. Makes my heart beat faster to read them. Well, we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. In fact, I didn't seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as an apostle of Christ, I might have asserted my authority. Do you think? I reckon he's an apostle, for goodness sake. But Paul never showed up going, "I am an apostle. Stand up when I walk in the room." He didn't do that. He just showed up. He just served them. He just disarmed them with his grace and kindness. We could have asserted our authority, but we never did. We never reminded you that we had had a relationship with Christ that few people would ever have. Now read on. But there's the particle of contrast. But, not that, but we proved to be gentle among you. Here's where it gets good. We proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children. Look at that. Not just a mother, but a mother with thalpo, T-H-A-L-P-O. It means to heat, to warm. It's the tender picture of a mother with a newborn at her breast. Get this. She's wrapped the baby in a warm, soft blanket. She's just put a fresh diaper on him. And she's pulled the child up close. And she's holding him in such a way that his head rests. And then she pulls him to her breast. And she warms him. Isn't that fabulous? There was a while when one of our daughters was living with us as they were in transition in their home, and she had just given birth to one of her children. We were living in California at the time. We had a stairway that led down to the family room, and I didn't know anyone was up. I got up real early, and I walked down the stairs, and I saw a light very, very dimly lit, and there was our Colleen with her little baby. And I felt like I was walking into some sacred place. And she held that baby in her arms and was nursing him. And I slipped away and sat up on the top step. She never knew I'd done this. And I thanked God for the tenderness of her touch. But this really isn't about a mother nursing a child. This is about you delighting in yours, warming them, comforting them. It's an old word that on occasion is translated cherish. I wish we still used that word. Usually only use it at wedding ceremonies. And you never remember what you say at wedding ceremonies. And that's too bad, because cherish is such a great word. It's tactile. You feel cherished. In fact, you'll be interested to know that over in the Old Testament, when it was translated into Greek, called the Septuagint, big word, meaning the Greek Old Testament, when this word, thalpo, is translated there in Deuteronomy, it's a picture of a mother hen sitting on her eggs. Wouldn't you love it? Fluffed out there, keeping her eggs what? Warm. And then when the chicks pop out of the eggs and they're just old enough to be dangerous, she's got her big wings out, holding them. The same word, thalpo. It's the word for seeing value in. I care about each one of you little chicks. Don't go too far. The Lazy Bee Ranch is comprised of 260 square miles of scrub brush on the New Mexico-Arizona border and has been in the Day family since 1881. When Harry and Ada Mae Day were ready to have their first child, they traveled 200 miles to El Paso for the delivery, and Ada Mae brought her baby Sandra home to a difficult life. The four-room adobe house had no running water and no electricity. There was no school within driving distance. One would have thought that with such limited resources, Sandra's intellectual future was slim. Not on your life. Harry and Ada Mae were dreamers who did not allow themselves to be limited by their surroundings. Harry had been forced by his father's death to take over the ranch rather than enter Stanford University, but he never gave up hope that his daughter would someday study there. And Ada Mae continued to subscribe to metropolitan newspapers and to magazines like Vogue and The New Yorker. When Sandra was four, her mother started her on the Calvert method of home instruction and later saw that she went to the best boarding school possible. Sandra's brother, Alan, says that one summer their parents picked him up, packed them into a car, and they drove to all the state capitals west of the Mississippi. Think of that. We climbed up to the dome of every building until finally we got back home, said Alan. Sandra did go to Stanford, then on to law school, and eventually to become the first woman Supreme Court justice in the United States of America. On the day of her swearing in, the Day family was there, of course. During the ceremony, Alan watched her closely as Sandra put on her robe, walked to her seat among the justices. She looked around and saw the family and locked her eyes right into ours, said Alan. That's when the tears started falling. What causes a woman like Sandra Day O'Connor to go so far? Intelligence, well, of course. Lots of inner drive, yes, but much of the credit goes to a determined little ranch woman sitting in her adobe house at night, reading hours on end to her children, and to parents scampering the stairways of Capitol domes with their children in tow. Those are parents that delight in their children. When you plan your vacation, don't just look for a place you want to go. Talk to the kids. Ask them where they would like to be. In fact, think of stretching things where you do things that they wouldn't have thought of, and you explain to them why and how this will help them later in life. They learn from that. My goodness, Mom and Dad really, really care about us. They don't know the meaning of thalpo, but they sure do know when they're being warmed and cared for. In fact, fast forward to verse 11. just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. I've always loved this passage. As a mother, as a father. This bookend, that bookend. A mother is known for warming, but look at what a father is known for. Sounds just like a dad. Exhorting, encouraging, and imploring. Oh, brother. Sounds like lecture number 738, doesn't it? Nope, it has nothing to do with any of those things you're thinking. Let me broaden your understanding with these three words. The first one, exhort, get this, is from a term that means to treat someone in a congenial manner, to be inviting, to speak in a friendly way, to show respect with our words. Oh, dads, listen to me. Haven't you criticized long enough? Haven't you found the moment to locate what was wrong enough? When they mow the grass and miss the spot, isn't it time to overlook the spot and brag on them for the mowed grass? Come on. When you do that, you treat them in a congenial and friendly way. They learn that you delight in them. See the next word? Encouraging. This is the word that means to cheer up, even to console. Remember the last time your child showed up with tears? What was your response? You know, a child can't eat while the child is crying. So why do you force feed them? Something far more important than eating their food that evening, and that's you taking time to find out what's broken their heart. You do that when you delight in them. And not just dads, but mothers as well. So easy to just get so task-oriented that it's just, you know, like slinging food at them three times a day. Just eat and do something. No. See the last word, imploring? The term means to affirm. I love that word. To support them in a manner that encourages them to affirm them. We acknowledge events that have been accomplished. We affirm people. Great job. Wow. Yeah, I mean, look how you brought your grades up. This is terrific. Yeah, I know you'd love to make all A's, but I never made all A's. It's okay. I bet you did your best. Now, this is a subject that you're having struggles in. How can I help you with that? Because I want you to do well in all of them. Because you've got that ability. You see the difference? You're saying the same thing, but you're saying a little differently. Dads, moms, can I have your attention right now? Isn't it time that you paid closer attention to the amount of time you're spending with your children? Isn't it time for you to think seriously about that? And not just fill up the extra time with an extra job. Or just looking for your favorite chair when the evening comes, but rather what they would like to do that evening? Isn't it about time that the words you spoke to your children were words of courtesy? How rare children hear parents say, I'm sorry. I spoke too quickly. I apologize. Please forgive me. They will never take advantage of you when you are that vulnerable. I speak from experience. And the confidence that you show in your children, isn't it about time you turn the tables on all of this and talk about how well they drive? Or how nicely they did the dishes? Or how much better they're keeping their room? And if I may add one more, bring a little laughter. Bring a little joy in the home, okay? Dads from Texas can be horrible. I am the daddy. You got that? I'm the father. You show me respect. You know, if you have to demand respect, you don't deserve it. Furthermore, it won't make them give it to you. You earn respect. And they will just fall all over you if you've earned it. It's essential if you delight in your child that you spend time with that child regardless of the age. It's essential that the words you say to your children are words of courtesy and kindness and respect. It's essential that the confidence you have in your children is communicated to them. You can do that, son. Why, you've got the ability to make that happen. When your boy is now an adult and he's on his way in life and maybe married with children and comes to you with an idea, your task, because you delight in him, is to say, go for that. We're right here praying with you and for you. You give discernment, you give counsel, but you are there to encourage them on their way. Speaking of laughter, I want the kids to remember me as a guy that was fun to be with. I really do. It's easy for preachers to be remembered as the guy that preached at home, just like he preached at church. You know, I want them to remember me as the guy that threw their mother in the pool and lived to tell the story. Throwing her in the pool is no big deal. Living to tell the story is a big deal. How great it is to see a dad with his head thrown back laughing out loud with one of his children. How valuable that laughter can be. Maybe it's overdue. Don't take it as simply a reproof or rebuke. Take it as an encouragement. Bring laughter back into your life. Include your children in it. You come across a funny story, email it to one of your kids. You find out something that's rather humorous in life, well, I can't wait to call up one of my kids and tell him about it. You'll never believe what I saw today. I want them, when they remember me, to remember the laughter in the hallways and in the walls and in the pictures. I don't want them to remember a frowning, shouting preacher. I want them to remember a daddy who absolutely adored them, took delight in them, encouraged them to laugh. I want them to miss the fun of being with their daddy. Speaking of which, I want to quote from my favorite theologian, Irma Bombeck. In church the other Sunday, I was intent on a small child who was turning around smiling at everyone. He wasn't gurgling, spitting, humming, kicking, tearing the hymnals, or rummaging through his mother's handbag. He was just smiling. Just smiling. Finally, his mother jerked him about in a stage whisper that could be heard in a little theater off Broadway. And she said, "Stop that grinning. You're in church." With that, she gave him a belt, and as the tears rolled down his cheeks, added, "That's better," and returned to her prayers. We sing, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," while our faces reflect the sadness of one who has just buried a rich aunt who left everything to her pregnant hamster. We chant, "If I have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Translated in the parking lot, it comes out, "Same to you, fella!" Suddenly, I was angry. It occurred to me the entire world is in tears, and if you're not, you better get with it. I wanted to grab this child with a tear-stained face close to me and tell him about my God, the happy God, the smiling God. The God who had to have a sense of humor to have created the likes of us. I wanted to tell him he's an understanding God. He understands little children who pick their noses in church because they're bored. I love that line. He understands the man in the parking lot who reads the comics while his wife is attending church inside. He understands that. He even understands my shallow prayers that implore, "Lord, if you can't make me thin, then make my friends look fat." He understands that. I wanted to tell this kid, I've taken a few lumps in my time for daring to smile at religion. By tradition, one wears faith with the solemnity of a mourner, the gravity of a mask of tragedy, and the dedication of a rotary badge. What a fool, I thought. Here was a woman sitting next to the only light left in our civilization, the only hope, our only miracle, our only promise of infinity. If he couldn't smile in church, where was there left to go? Well, as you can tell, I'm not through, but I'll be back. Let's bow our heads. Soul-searching time for all of us. Believe me, I've lived with this message long enough to feel deeply convicted. I would ask nothing of you that I would not ask of myself. So while you're sitting there thinking through where you've been, what you're making of your home and family, realizing that someday they'll remember you and either lift their hands or not when asked, was yours a happy home where you grew up? Hey, it's never too late to start doing what's right. It all begins with a sincere faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Please, trust him. Even if it's for the first time in your life, trust him. Thank you, dear Father, for being such a good dad. Thank you for loving us in such a tender and consistent and faithful and even enjoyable way. You just disarm us with how good you are, even when we've been ornery and stubborn, stupid. Thanks for never walking out of our lives. Father, thank you for your love and your delight, your understanding, your grace, your mercy, new every single morning. Thank you for being so good to us when we are so slow to learn. Shake us awake today, our Father, with the realization that you delight in us as your sons and daughters. And may we seek ways to do the same with ours. Thank you for Jesus and giving us your very own Son of all things, your one and only Son. Today we sit in the shadow of the cross, and at the foot of that cross, all ground is level. There's no rank, there's no position, there's no stratum of economic significance. We're all just sinners, saved by the grace of God. In his blessed name, amen.
As Chuck Swindoll said a moment ago, I'm not finished with this subject, but I'll be back. Yes, there's much more to the Biblical Parenting series. With today's program, we're just about halfway through Chuck's classic series, which continues next time. And to learn more about this ministry or Chuck Swindoll, please visit us online at insightworld.org. As we conclude another week of Bible study together, let me take a moment to tell you how much it means to Chuck and all of us at Insight for Living whenever we receive your feedback. We know that you have lots of extra pressure on your household right now with the global pandemic demanding so much attention. But even so, we're thrilled to hear that Insight for Living continues to fill a void for many who have little access to practical Bible teaching. Recently, we heard from a friend who said, "Chuck, I go to work very early. You are on my radio station at 5:30 a.m., and I arrive at the work gate about the time you say amen. If you're still praying or ending your thoughts, I know I've been driving too fast." And then this listener added a comment about something Chuck taught about the importance of standing alone. Quoting again, "Today's sermon grabbed me. I felt as if the Holy Spirit had me by the shoulders in the same way you would grab your child to get their attention, because what you had to tell me was of the utmost importance." Well, you know, these sacred moments are made possible through the power of God's Word and the many men and women in our listening family who financially support Insight for Living. Thanks for your generosity. especially during this threatening pandemic crisis, when men and women around the world are looking to Insight for Living for comfort and encouragement. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or to give a donation online, visit insight.org.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
There's a simple and effective way to leverage your support of Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Become a monthly companion.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
Become a monthly companion today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Together, let's introduce people to the God who says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness."
Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Monday, Chuck Swindoll talks about creating delightful memories your children will never forget. That's Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Delighting in Your Children, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.